Welcome to Bite-Sized Frights. This episode will be a little different from those you may have heard before. For the next few weeks, we will be releasing our 50 States of Fear series, a road trip through some of the most bizarre and terrifying urban legends found across America. Buckle up, everyone. For some of you, these are going to be very close to home. Fifty States of Fear, Part 1, From Alabama to Georgia. This series contains disturbing content. Listener discretion is advised. Hell's Gate Bridge, Oxford, Alabama. On the outskirts of this small town in western Alabama, an old iron and wood bridge crosses the Chocoloco Creek. Few care to remember the bridge's official name, but the locals all know it as Hell's Gate. Legend has it that if you stop your car halfway across the rickety structure and glance in your rearview mirror, you will not see the bridge reflected there, but instead see ghostly figures beckoning you toward the fiery gates of hell itself. As if that was not enough, the story goes that at some time in the 1950s, a young couple lost control of their vehicle whilst crossing the bridge and plunged into the river below. Perhaps they had looked in their rearview mirror and been terrified by what they had seen. Either way, they were unable to escape their rapidly sinking car, and both drowned, trapped inside. If you are brave enough, you can park your vehicle on the Hell's Gate Bridge in the dead of night, switch off your lights, and wait. It is said that a member of the dead, drowned couple will enter the car with you, looking for a ride home. When you drive away, there will be a damp stain on the passenger seat, water that has dripped from their soaked clothes. The bridge is now derelict, deemed unsafe, blocked off with fences and concrete blocks, to keep people out, or, perhaps, to keep something in. The Alaska Triangle. You have almost certainly heard of the Bermuda Triangle, that mysterious stretch of ocean where so many aircraft and ships seem to vanish without a trace. The Alaska Triangle is very similar. 300,000 square miles of remote wilderness that stretches from Juneau in the south to Anchorage in the west, and all the way to the tiny town of Barrow in the far north. Since 1988, more than 16,000 people have disappeared in the Alaska Triangle, never to be seen again. The rate that people go missing in this area is more than twice the national average. While many blame the remote and unforgiving terrain, unpredictable weather, and hungry wildlife, the sheer number of odd disappearances has led some to wonder whether something more sinister lurks in that bleak wilderness. There are rumors and reports from the Alaska Triangle of alien abductions, electromagnetic vortices that cause crippling feelings of doom and despair, and secret military facilities performing illegal human experimentation. The indigenous people of the region have their own theories. Those who are missing have fallen victim to monstrous, Bigfoot-like creatures, or have been lured to their bloody deaths by shape-shifting demons known as Kushtaka, who imitate the screams of distressed women and children to entice their victims into the dark woods. The Inuit tribes blame the disappearances on the Kwalupalik, ghostly, pale green humanoids with long dark hair and black eyes that rise up from glacial lakes to drag their victims, usually children, down to a watery grave. Sometimes they produce an eerie, whistling hum, designed to draw inquisitive travelers to the water's edge. In 2007, 2,833 people went missing in the state of Alaska, averaging out at a terrifying 4 in every 1,000 residents. While some of these returned home safely, a great many vanished without a trace. So if you are out hiking in the Alaskan wilderness and you hear desperate screams for help echoing in the mist, do think twice before trying to act the hero. You wouldn't want to become just another statistic. Slaughterhouse Canyon, Kingman, Arizona. Luana's Canyon lies just east of the desert town of Kingman. Better known to the locals as Slaughterhouse Canyon, there isn't much to see there. Just barren, sun-scorched rock, scrubby bushes, and a handful of crumbling ruins. However, the canyon is home to a terrifying urban legend, a gruesome story of misery, madness, and murder. The story goes that in the early 1800s, a poor family made their home by the river at the bottom of the canyon. The husband would leave for weeks at a time in search of gold, returning occasionally to bring back what little money and food he could to his dutiful, beautiful wife Luana and his two small children. One day he left and never came back. Days turned to weeks, turned to months while Luana waited in the barren desert. For long, the family ran out of supplies. The children began to starve. Their pitiful cries for food echoed off the canyon walls day and night. Luana slipped into the madness of desperation. She dared not venture out in search of food or help, as the children were too young to be left alone. All she could do was watch as the little ones grew weaker and weaker, their shrill shrieks of starvation ringing in her ears. One morning, she could stand the screaming no longer. She washed her hair in the river, put on her wedding dress, and hacked the children to pieces with a meat cleaver. By the time she was finished, the walls of her shack dripped with blood, and her white dress was soaked crimson with gore. She tossed the butchered remains of her children into the river, and as they sank, she began to scream. She did not stop until she starved to death the next day. Slaughterhouse Canyon is open to the public, so you can visit any time. Locals say that if you listen carefully, you can still hear ghostly screams echoing off the canyon walls, the eternal shrieks of a desperate mother grieving for the children she murdered. The Arkansas Dog Boy. The house at 65 Mulberry Street in Quitman, Arkansas, has a bad reputation. Various owners have claimed it is haunted by the restless spirit of a World War I soldier, that furniture moves inexplicably, and that pale faces stare out from upstairs windows when nobody is home. One evening in 2003, a decorator named Ed Munnerlin reported seeing a huge spectral figure watching him from the rear sunroom. A man covered with long shaggy hair, who had eyes that glowed like lamps. The ghostly creature walked menacingly towards Ed, before suddenly vanishing without a trace. Rumors spread quickly. Before long, there were reports from all over the tiny town. Terrified residents claiming to have seen, or even been chased, by a monstrous half-man, half-dog with glowing eyes. While this may sound far-fetched, the rumors were based on an equally disturbing true story. Gerald Bettis was born in 1953. He lived at 65 Mulberry Street with his parents, and quickly gained a reputation as a problem child. He hoarded cats and stray dogs, earning him the nickname Dog Boy. It soon became apparent Bettis was conducting deranged experiments on these animals. The neighbors could hear their desperate howls as he tortured them to death. As he grew older, Bettis shifted his attention to human victims. He imprisoned his now elderly parents in the attic, starved them, beat them. He once even threw his father out of a second-story window. It is widely thought that he later killed his father by pushing him down the stairs. Bettis died in prison in 1998 of an inexplicable drug overdose. and locals believe his sinister, ghostly presence still haunts 65 Mulberry Street in the form of a monstrous, spectral, hairy beast. No families that have lived in the house since have stayed for long. Rumor has it that if you walk past the property late at night and glance up at the attic window, where Bettis once imprisoned his poor parents, you will see Dog Boy's yellow, glowing eyes glaring back at you. The Haunting of the Hollywood Sign, Los Angeles, California. The iconic Hollywood sign has watched over the City of Angels since 1923. It is one of the most famous landmarks in the world. It has a troubling history. On September the 16th, 1932, 24-year-old actress Peg Entwistle, distraught after a string of failed attempts to break into the movie industry, hurled herself from the top of the H in the Hollywood sign. She plunged to her death, 45 feet below, and her broken body was discovered by a hiker the next morning. 10 years later, the colossal H mysteriously toppled over, and the rumors of a haunting began to spread. Numerous hikers, joggers, and rangers at Griffith Park have claimed to see the ghost of the Hollywood sign. Sometimes she appears as a pale woman in 1930s clothing, floating a few feet off the ground. Other times she emerges from the mist with a skeletal face and empty, hollowed-out eye sockets. Such sightings are often accompanied by an overpowering smell of gardenia flowers, rumored to be the scent of Peg Entwistle's favorite perfume. While undoubtedly terrifying, this Hollywood horror seems to be mostly harmless, though some say that she will compel people hiking alone at night to join her in misery, to throw themselves from the top of the sign and share her tragic fate. Numerous suicides have been reported around the Hollywood sign in the years since. Then, in a gruesome twist of fate, a man's severed head, hands, and feet were found by a dog walker in the bushes where they had been dumped, rumor has it, in the exact spot Peg Entwistle landed beneath the giant H. So, if you are out hiking the Griffith Park trails by night and you suddenly smell gardenias, better quicken your step. The ghost of Hollywood tragedy might be waiting for you in the darkness. Riverdale Road, Thornton, Colorado. This lonely stretch of road just north of Denver is seemingly linked to more than its fair share of horrifying legends. It boasts its very own gates to hell, reportedly on the site of where a local man lost his mind and burned his fabulous mansion to the ground, while his wife and children slept inside. A pair of rusted iron gates are all that remain of the tragic scene. People who drive by at night have claimed to see a ghostly woman in white appear in their rearview mirror, standing forlornly outside these gates, grieving for her murdered children, or perhaps seeking revenge. Locals also say that if you drive along Riverdale Road on a night when the moon is full, you will see the spectral bodies of long-dead slaves hanging from the cottonwood trees, and hear the creak of the ropes that were used to lynch them. There are reports of ghostly hitchhikers, phantom vehicles, and eerie disembodied noises, the sound of quickly approaching footsteps when nobody is in sight. The spirit of a young boy hit by a car on his way to school leaves small, bloody handprints on the road signs and giggles in the dark. Motorists have reported swerving to avoid a ghostly jogger who disappears into thin air. One of the houses on this lonesome road was allegedly the home of a satanic cult who practiced animal sacrifice and tried to summon demons. There is little evidence to support this claim, though the empty buildings along the highway are often marked with odd, symbolic graffiti, and locals have found headless animals left by the side of the road, like some sort of gruesome pagan offering. Thrill seekers and ghost hunters from across the country are drawn to Riverdale Road, all hoping to catch a glimpse of something beyond explanation. Best leave them to it. Who knows what might be waiting for them on that literal highway to hell. Annabelle the Possessed Doll, Monroe, Connecticut. The Warren Occult Museum is tucked away in the southwestern corner of Connecticut. It is home to Annabelle, an allegedly haunted doll that recently gained worldwide fame after a character based on her featured in the Conjuring movie universe. The real-life legend is as horrifying as its film counterpart. The story goes that a student nurse named Donna was gifted the Raggedy Ann doll in 1970. Before long, she began to notice strange occurrences. The doll would change positions, seeming to move about the room when no one was looking. Tiny footsteps could be heard pattering behind locked doors. Donna began finding notes scrawled on old parchment scattered about her apartment, containing chilling, cryptic messages such as, "Help me. Help us." On some occasions, the doll appeared to be leaking blood. When a male friend stayed over at the apartment, he claimed he woke in the middle of the night to find the doll staring at him in the dark. He felt as though he was being strangled by an unseen force and had deep scratches all over his body. A séance was held, and it was discovered that a 7-year-old girl named Annabelle Higgins had died on the property, and that her spirit was inhabiting the disturbing doll. Donna contacted legendary paranormal investigators Ed and Lorraine Warren, who quickly concluded that the doll was demonically possessed, and that the evil presence was not content with its cloth host, and would be seeking a human body to attach itself to. After performing an exorcism on the apartment, the Warrens took Annabelle away, sealing her in a locked glass case in their museum, behind a sign marked, "Do not touch. Positively do not open." However, it seems as though Annabelle's demonic powers were not diminished. A visiting priest dismissed the story as superstitious nonsense. On the drive home, his brakes failed, and he plowed into a busy intersection, destroying his car and almost dying in the resulting crash. Another visitor laughed at the doll, banging on her glass case until the Warrens asked him to leave. He lost control of his motorcycle a few miles down the road and ran headfirst into a tree, dying instantly. So if you choose to visit Annabelle in her Connecticut home, do be sure to pay her the respect that she demands. Old Maggie's Bridge, Seaford, Delaware. The ghost that haunts the bridge on Woodland Church Road has a truly tragic backstory. In the mid-1800s, Maggie Bloxham was riding in a horse-drawn carriage along the dark, tree-lined roads of Delaware. She was young and happy, heavily pregnant, on her way home to be around family when she gave birth. Suddenly, the horse panicked, causing the wagon to tumble off the trail and down into a shallow creek. Poor Maggie was decapitated. Another version of the tale claims Maggie gave birth to an infant that was mentally and physically deformed. The child never cried or made a sound, and Maggie's parents declared that it was touched by the devil. Against her will, she took her baby out into the woods and tossed it off a bridge. As it plunged down, the infant began to cry. Maggie realized she had made a dreadful mistake. But far too late. Broken and distraught, she ended her own life on that bridge shortly after. Legend has it that Maggie's ghost still haunts that stretch of road, searching for her lost child. The area has become a hotspot for paranormal activity. People have seen shadowy figures dancing in the trees by the roadside, floating orbs of light drifting in the dark, and even the pale, headless specter of Maggie herself. Locals will tell you that if you park near the bridge at night and walk towards the creek, calling out, "Maggie, I have your baby," you will hear ominous whispers, and maybe even the desperate screaming of the grieving mother, echoing from the shadows. though many will write this tale off as nothing but local folklore, in a private cemetery not far from the bridge, there is an old gravestone marking the final resting place of a young woman who died in the mid-1800s. Her name? Maggie Bloxham. The Devil Tree, Port St. Lucie, Florida. In Oak Hammock Park, a tree stands alone in a small clearing. In 1973, serial killer Gerard John Schaefer Jr. murdered and mutilated two teenage girls before hanging them from the branches of this tree. He returned later, cut them down and buried them in a shallow grave between the oak's twisted roots. Their skeletal remains were discovered 4 years later. Schaefer was arrested, imprisoned, and 20 years afterwards was stabbed to death in his own jail cell. His story ends there, but the legend of the Devil Tree was just beginning. Many people have since claimed to hear the disembodied screams of the murdered girls coming from the woods. There are reports of odd cold spots in the park, even on the hottest summer days, and the doors of maintenance sheds open and slam shut of their own accord. There are also rumors that the tree's dark past has attracted satanic worshippers, and two boys claim to have been chased through the woods by hooded figures that disappeared into thin air. So numerous were the reports of devil worship at the site that in the early 90s a priest was sent to perform an exorcism on the tree and erect a large cross at its base. According to local legend, there have been numerous failed attempts to remove this ill-fated devil tree. Chainsaws sputter and die before even touching the bark. The metal teeth fall out of handsaws. Axe heads come loose. The tree has since been left alone. It is still there, a silent witness to unspeakable crimes. The Curse of Lake Lanier, Georgia. There is a ghost town at the bottom of Lake Lanier. When construction began on the man-made waterway in 1957, the residents were forced to relocate. Hundreds of corpses were exhumed from local cemeteries and buried elsewhere before the water washed the town away and the rumors of a curse began. Since the lake opened to the public in the late 1950s, almost 700 people have died in its mysterious depths. Unexplained drownings, freak boating accidents, motor vehicles lurching off the road and plunging into the dark water. The death toll is disturbingly high. The bodies of numerous murder victims have been found dumped in or near the lake, leading many to believe that the area is haunted or cursed by restless spirits, angered at the desecration of their graves. In 1988, divers found the skeleton of a woman who had disappeared 30 years earlier, still trapped inside her car at the bottom of the lake. Since then, people have reported seeing her pale ghost floating just above the surface of the water, sometimes moaning mournfully and reaching out with arms that end in bloody stumps. Swimmers who have been rescued from near drowning in the lake describe feeling as though unseen hands were pulling them down, holding them underwater until all the air had left their lungs. There are reports of monstrous 7-foot-long catfish that prowl Lanier's dark depths, large enough to drown divers and swallow dogs, or even small children whole. Despite its deadly reputation, the lake still attracts around 7 million visitors each year, and every summer, some of them go down to join hundreds of others in a deep, dark, watery grave. We would love to hear your own thoughts and theories about these unsettling urban legends. Please join us next week where we will continue our road trip through the 50 states of fear. If you have enjoyed this episode, please follow us on Twitter and Instagram at PixelElixir and subscribe at BitesizedFrights.com so that you never miss any of our terrifying tales. This has been a Pixel Elixir production, narrated by Chris Kay. Thank you for listening. Until the next bite. my friends.